Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 9, Text 35. Answers by citing the Lord's version. Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu bhuteshu cha avacheshu. Anu pravishtani apravishtani chatha heshu na heshu aham. Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavacheshvanu pravishtanya pravishtani tathateshu nateshvaham yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavacheshvanu pravishtanya pravishtani tathateshu nateshvaham yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu chavacheshvanu pravishtanya pravishtani tathateshu nateshvaham. Yatha, just as Mahanti, the universal. Bhutani, elements. Bhuteshucha avacheshu. In the minute and gigantic. Anu, after. Pravishtani, entered. Apravishtani, not entered. Yatha, so. Teshu, in them. Na, not. Teshu, in them. Aham, myself. Translation. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos, and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. Purport. How long purport will we have of it? The great elements of material creation, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, all enter into the body of all manifested entities. The seas, mountains, aquatics, plants, reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and everyone materially manifested. And at the same time, such elements are differently situated. In the developed stage of consciousness, the human being can study both physiological and physical science. But the basic principles of such sciences are nothing but the material elements and nothing more. The body of the human being and the body of the mountain, as also the bodies of all of the demigods, including Brahma, are all the same ingredients, earth, water, and so forth. And at the same time, the elements are beyond the body. The elements were created first, and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, namely the internal and external, is within everything in the manifested cosmos, and at the same time he is outside of everything, situated in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Loka, as described before. This is very nicely stated in the Brahma Samhita as follows. Anandachinmayarasa pratibhavitabhis tabhiya eva nijarupataya kalabhi goloka eva nivasat yakilatma bhuto govindam adi purusham tangaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who, by expansion of his internal potency of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss, enjoys in his own and expanded forms. Simultaneously, he enters into every atom of the creation. This expansion of his plenary parts is also more definitely explained in the same Brahma Samhita as follows. Ekopyaso rachayatum jagaranda kotim yaschakti asti jagaranda chayayaranta andantarasta paramanu jayantarastam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. I worship the personality of Godhead, Govinda, who, by one of his plenary portions, enters into the existence of every universe and every particle of the atoms, and thus unlimitedly manifests his infinite energy all over the material creation. The impersonalist can imagine or even perceive that the Supreme Brahman is thus all-pervading, and therefore they conclude that there is no possibility of his personal form. Herein lies the mystery of his transcendental knowledge. This mystery is transcendental love of Godhead, and one who is surcharged with such transcendental love of Godhead can without difficulty see the personality of Godhead in every atom and every movable or immovable object. At the same time, he can see the personality of Godhead in his own abode, Goloka, enjoying eternal pastimes with his eternal associates, who are also expansions of his transcendental existence. This vision is the real mystery of spiritual knowledge, as stated by the Lord in the beginning, Sarahasyang Charangam Cha. This mystery is the most confidential part of the knowledge of the Supreme, and it is impossible for the mental speculators to discover by dint of intellectual gymnastics. The mystery can be revealed through the process recommended by Brahmaji in his Brahma Samhita as follows. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santat sadaiva hirayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundarama chinta guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tangaham bhajami. I worship the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom the pure devotees, their eyes smear with the ointment of love of Godhead, always observe within their hearts. This Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, is Shyama Sundara with all transcendental qualities. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Undalitamina Tazma Shukudamina. Turn it up or down? Okay. Carrie always knows just what to do. You want to understand mysteries? Well, here is the prime mystery of life and the cosmos. People generally think that mysteries involve solving crimes or conspiracies. Or else in nature, they think mysteries, for something to be a mystery means finding out lost species or understanding the origin of civilization. Is there life on other planets? That's a mystery. Are there UFOs? Are there aliens? All these so-called mysteries of the cosmos are so tiny and insignificant compared to the real mystery of how Krishna is all pervading and at the same time a person. This mystical reality cannot be understood by intellectual gymnastics. This mystery can only be entered into through devotional service. What is the actual reality? Krishna is everywhere. He's within every atom. He's within everyone's heart. And he's also in his own abode, enjoying pleasurable pastimes. How can both be going on? You know yourself. If you're in this room, you're not in the other room. But Krishna, by his expansions, can be present in every atom and in everyone's heart. Yet at the same time, he doesn't vacate his post in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. This is God. This is impressive. How the Lord is in every atom. He's within everyone's heart, yet he's not bound up. He's got his own personal pastimes going on simultaneously. This is the wonder of love of God. To become qualified to see this mystery, that takes dedication to devotional service. And then the heart becomes pure. It is not a question of intellectual adjustment and gymnastics. It is a question of experience given to you in the course of performing devotional service. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, only by devotional service can I be understood as I am. Therefore, as we've always said, a devotee is hungry for devotional service. Just like you're hungry for prasad, for the tongue. Similarly, we should be hungry for devotional service which will absorb all our senses. Last week we were talking about chanting. How the chanting is meant to absorb your heart. It's not something that's done kind of mechanically and your heart has other needs and other satisfactions. No. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra should take an investment of your heart energies, and then you'll become a balanced devotee. When the chanting comes from the heart, all aspects of your devotional life come into proper balance and harmony. But if you kind of have your heart in one place and then you're chanting from another place, when inevitably your heart wants some fulfillment, it will look outside of Krishna. But if you learn how to pin your heart on the holy name, then you can easily cross over all impediments in this life and attain love of Krishna. We live in a mystery in that people do not see the presence of Krishna. They just see matter everywhere. They cannot see the soul. They cannot see the super soul. All they see is matter and opportunities for material enjoyment or distress. That is what it means to be a materialist. You are caught up in a network of illusion, moha jala, a false network of hopes which will never be fulfilled. Asha pasha shatayar bhaja, Krishna explains in the 16th chapter of the Gita. Bound by hundreds of false hopes, thousands of false hopes, we can just see our life like that without Krishna consciousness. Bound by hundreds and thousands of false hopes. Now it's bad enough to be bound by hundreds and thousands of hopes which may or may not be fulfilled. But to be bound by hundreds and thousands of false hopes. Moha jala samavrita. Covered by the network of illusion. You can imagine a net thrown over you, a big fishing net thrown over you, of illusion. No matter what you do, how you turn, you're caught in this net of illusion. This is why people are not interested in Krishna consciousness. They don't see the need. They don't see the pressing necessity. Sometimes even our own devotees or practitioners, they're like that. They take it very casually. Once you understand the pressing need to become Krishna conscious, then you become highly motivated. We all need to beg Krishna, please let me feel this pressing need, this sense of urgency in my spiritual life, because you do not know when the next death is coming. Next death is a fact. You don't know when it's coming. Once you feel the urgency to become Krishna conscious, to become for real, becoming Krishna conscious means to become for real. In that you see what's really going on and you are really part of it instead of being artificially part of it. As a sense enjoyer, of course, what do people think when you use the word sense enjoyer? They think of somebody who goes over the top, someone who's extreme, a party animal like that. But no, sense enjoyer means someone in a material body who tries to enjoy the mind and senses. That means everybody. Every creature. You can even see in the worms, in the frogs, in the mosquitoes, how they are sense enjoyers. So we shouldn't exempt ourselves from the category of hedonists, thinking that sense enjoyer means just someone who gets carried away, has too much sense gratification. No. Sense enjoyer refers to any creature that tries to be happy through the mind and senses. Such a creature cannot truthfully participate in reality. If you insist upon being a sense enjoyer, then Krishna reciprocates with you and does not allow you to see reality. Instead of seeing how Krishna is present everywhere, you see how matter is everywhere, and how opportunities or impediments for sense enjoyment are everywhere. As soon as you falsely assume the role of enjoyer, your vision changes. And as soon as that disease to want to be the enjoyer is cleansed, your vision changes. What is the original vision? That should be your question. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Saju Gavunoi, Shravanade Shuddha Chitte Kodaye Udor. Pure love of Krishna is eternally established in the heart of the living entity. But it needs to be revived. It's dormant. Through the process of hearing and chanting, then the dormant love of Krishna becomes aroused. It's not that Krishna Prem, love of Krishna, is something added from the outside. You are Krishna's part and parcel. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord states that so clearly. Mamayivamsho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. You living entities are eternally my fragmented parts. But there's a problem. Manasa stani jayani, prakriti stani karshati. You are struggling in the oppressive material atmosphere, the prakriti sthani, with the six senses, including the mind. You can just see yourself struggling in this network of illusion, moha jala samavrita, asha pasha, satya pasha, bound by hundreds and thousands of false hopes. You've got your mind and senses, and you're struggling. Even though you are part of Krishna. We don't see Krishna. So many people say, well, I'm just dealing with what I can see. I'm practical. No, you are not practical. The practical person wants to see this world as it is. That means a combination of matter and spirit. And you should also see the controller of both the matter and the spirit. That's being practical. We think we are being practical by putting our material needs first. No, that is highly impractical, highly ingenuine, highly unreal. That's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. Now, people don't know how to do that. Even if they claim to be a little religious, then their mantra is, seek ye last the kingdom of God. First, add everything else unto you, and then seek ye last the kingdom of God. If we're going to be practical engineers of reality, then our vision has to change. In order for the vision to change, your position has to change. That means you have to abandon your false position as the enjoyer. Give up the masquerade ball. Announce that it's pumpkin time. Was it Cinderella at a certain time? What happened? Midnight, what happened? Right. So, everyone should have their pumpkin time. When time to admit, I cannot go on falsely trying to be the enjoyer. It's not a coach. It's just a pumpkin. It's this mission to be the enjoyer which causes us to struggle in life decade after decade, body after body. I know it's out there for me. I can see quite clearly there's matter everywhere. There's material arrangements. And I've got to find that ideal arrangement for me. This is lust. It's not as gross all the time as you think. Can be very subtle. Very subtle. Once you give up that false position as the enjoyer, then Krishna allows you to see reality. And then only can you properly participate in reality. How do you properly participate in reality? As Krishna's eternal servant. Always seeing opportunities to render service to Krishna. Then you know you're becoming healthy. The great wonder is that we don't see Krishna's presence everywhere. How can there not be Krishna? This is the great question. The Lord is explaining to Brahma in this verse, try to understand me by way of this example. Just like the universal elements enter into the cosmos, and at the same time they don't enter into the cosmos, you can use your body as an example for that. Your body is a miniature universe. So, in order to make your body material elements have entered within. But just because the material elements have entered within your body, it doesn't mean that there's no material elements outside your body. In that way, it can be said that the material elements both enter in and do not enter into your body. So Krishna is using this as an example. That the material elements enter into this cosmos at the same time they do not. There's a stock of material elements. And from that stock, the universe draws the elements. But at the same time, the elements exist in of themselves. Similarly, Krishna is saying, you see, the Lord is giving you an example, an allegory, or a simile, so you can understand his inconceivable presence both in the material world and in his private abode. Krishna is using this metaphor to teach you. This is called Shaka Chandra Nyaya, the logic of seeing the moon through the branches of a tree. If you're a tiny child, 4 years old, you have difficulty craning your neck upwards to see the moon. Because, you know, when you're a little tot, your vision is very low on the ground. So in order to get you to see the moon, an adult might say, let's use the facility of something closer to you on the ground so that then you can focus on the moon. See that tree? Look in between the two branches of that tree. Now that's something that the little tot can immediately accommodate. Yes, the tree. Okay. I look through the branches of the tree. Oh, what do I see? The moon. Even though it's so far away, I can utilize the branches of the tree. I look between those branches, I see the moon. This is called Shaka Chandra Naya. Using what is near to see what is far away. Now Krishna is using that technique to help you understand transcendental love of God, the mystery of love of Krishna. Being able to see the Lord in every atom and in everyone's heart, while at the same time having your heart full of the broadcasts of Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Krishna has his expansions in his private abode. Some of Krishna's associates in Vrindavan, they are expansions of his spiritual energy. And Krishna also expands himself into other Godheads who enter into the material world, into every atom and in everyone's heart. In this way, once again, the question is, how can we not see Krishna? How is that possible? How can we think there's no Krishna? The amazing thing is we are so sure of our own existence. Yeah, well, I know I'm here. Yeah. But what else can you be sure of? Therefore, the Upanishads say, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Okay, take yourself. You are tiny. By understanding the tiny, the microcosm, you can understand the macrocosm, the great. This is also technique given in the Shastra. This is from the Upanishads. Anor Aniyan Mahato Mahiyan. The absolute truth is smaller than the smallest and greater than the greatest. That means you can understand the supreme absolute truth not by understanding the greatest, but also by understanding the smallest. This is the complete science of God. Generally, when people think, let's understand God, they think, let's understand the most immense thing. But the Upanishads are pointing out to you that, no, God is complete, not only greater than the greatest, but also smaller than the smallest. As the Super Soul, the Lord, can enter into the smallest situation. Or looked at another way, the tiny living entities, they are tiny manifestations of the Supreme Lord. If you want to say that you are God, then you have to be accurate and say you are a small God. You are a small Krishna, tiny Krishna. And because of your tiny size, there are problems in your struggle to be the supreme enjoyer. But Krishna never has problems being the enjoyer. That's why his pastimes are so attractive. As I always say, Krishna in his leela, in his pastimes, he does all the things we want to do, but he never fails. He never has an impediment. And what happens when we try to enjoy? Oh, problems, incompleteness, feelings of incompleteness. It just doesn't happen right. Prolong, if it does. Never prolong. So we spend our whole life after life chasing for the full fulfillment, the complete fulfillment. It's like people last night were saying, we want to be fulfilled, we want love, we want happiness. They want a complete experience, not just a fragmented, splintered, diluted, splayed out experience. But this is what the material world does. If it does give you something, it'll be splayed out, diluted, fragmented, incomplete, and you get so frustrated. You just can't have a complete experience of reality on the material platform. But this vision of love of Krishna, the reality, that is the fullness you're longing for. This fullness of Krishna prema, love of Krishna, eludes even liberated souls. I'm sure you all understand how love of Krishna is beyond even liberation from material existence. Liberation from material existence is something you can attain comparatively easy as compared to attaining love of Krishna. Love of Krishna is beyond even liberation from material existence. Therefore, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Muktanam apisitanam narayana parayana sadurlabha prasantatma kotishpapi mahamune. Out of thousands and thousands of yogis and sages who are completely free from material existence, only one may be a devotee of Narayana. Muktana api siddhana. They may be perfect in terms of freedom from material nature. They may have acquired yogic perfections. You know, the eight yogic perfections, Ashta Siddhi. They may have gotten all those, but still, such persons cannot compare to a devotee of the Lord. Narayana Parayana means one who is exclusively dependent on Lord Narayana. Sadurlabha prasantatma. Such a person is so rare to find, even amongst the liberated sages and yogis. This demonstrates to you that becoming free from material existence is not enough. You must become established in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Impersonalists are counted amongst transcendentals, but they are considered to be offenders if they deny the transcendental variegatedness of the Lord. Both the personalists and the impersonalists agree that one should be free from material illusion. The disagreement starts concerning what happens after liberation from material existence. This disagreement is very important because if you do not have positive engagement after escaping material existence, you'll enter right back into material illusion again. That's what the Bhagavatam predicts, and that is what happens. Yen yen ravandaksha vamuktamayas payashta bhava avishuddha buddhaya aruya kichtena param param tatapatam yadonadita yashvarangaya. You may, with great difficulty, struggle with impersonal realization, trying to understand that everything is the one, everything is Brahman. You may succeed in that, but your success will only be temporary, because sooner or later you must fall back down to material existence for want of a positive situation. What is that positive situation? Love of Krishna. Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. You may know from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam how it is stated right in the beginning, the Bhagavatam is beyond liberation. It starts where liberation takes off. It starts where liberation ends. So you're dealing with the subject matter of the positive reality. That is far beyond merely a negative understanding of the cosmos. Oh, material life is distressful. Let me end the distress. That is intelligent to think like that, but it's not intelligent enough. The Narayana Parayana, the devotee dedicated exclusively to Lord Narayana, is thinking, not let me become free from material existence, but let me become attached to Krishna's pleasure. The impersonalists cannot understand this. They think that the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Lord Krishna are, if they are just a temporary meditational device, the best kind of maya that you use as a stepping stone into the impersonal Brahman. Now what does Lord Chaitanya say about such persons? Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. Such mayavadis are the greatest offenders to the Lord. What does it mean, mayavadi? It means they think the truth, the vad, is that everything is maya. And what do the devotees understand? The Narayana Parayana? Everything is Krishna. That's what the Lord is saying in this verse. I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time I am outside of everything. This is not the vision of an impersonalist. This is Krishna declaring his presence everywhere, even in the material world. And thus you have the ability to be Krishna conscious anywhere and everywhere, because anywhere and everywhere there is Krishna. You may not know it, but what is affecting many people today is impersonalism. Therefore, when they come to Krishna consciousness to hear, they have this aversion against the personality of Godhead. They think, all right, I've tried that illusion thing. I've tried being a party animal. I've tried the money thing. I've tried the uni thing. Now, I've heard from such and such impersonalists that it's all an illusion and you just tune in to the oneness. That's the ultimate. Yeah, that's spiritual oneness, all-pervading. When such persons hear about Krishna, they are naturally jaded. A personality of Godhead? This is some kind of, you know, Christianity, or, you know, come on, we've had our fill of these personal religions. I mean, after all, how can you believe in a person? How can it be a supreme person? You know, any time you say person, you mean limitation. But it's very easy to believe in an all-pervading spiritual energy. Yeah, that sounds really good. But Krishna, Shan Sundara, playing a flute, surrounded by his loving cows and devotees? As I've always pointed out, the amazing thing is, while such impersonalists deny the personal form and pastimes of the Lord, they're always trying to have their own pastimes with their temporary material form. What they want, Krishna has unlimitedly. But they're so foolish, they can't see. They become frustrated with their false attempts at material enjoyment. And therefore they want to wipe existence free of all variety. Ah, that's the perfection. No more varieties. No more individuality. Ah, pure Brahman spirit. There is such a thing as the all-pervading spiritual energy of the Lord, but that is a subordinate realization. As Bhagavad Gita explains, Brahmano hi pratishtaham, the Lord says, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. The impersonal Brahman is just the glow of Krishna's body. You have a hard time understanding that because you're maybe your body doesn't have much of a glow. That's fact, though, that many people, that when they see devotees, they think you're glowing. Any of you had that experience when you first saw devotees? You saw them, they're glowing? So, you're a tiny little entity and you have a glow. Certainly Krishna has a glow. But his glow is the impersonal Brahman, the all-pervading impersonal energy. That's just the glow of Krishna's personal body. Until you are convinced about this personal existence beyond liberation, you will not strive actively for liberation, because you in your heart want varieties, individuality, personality. And if everything is one, if everything is impersonal, that means what are you going to do after you attain freedom from material existence? There'll be nothing to do, no flavors to relish. That is why impersonalists are to blame for destroying people's spiritual endeavors. People talk all this talk about it's all one, the impersonal, but they cannot sustain it because they hunger for variety and personal existence. Therefore, you'll always see impersonalists generally living a double life. This is what's happening in the West now, outside of India. A very sinister fog has been covering people, in that when they do get frustrated with material life, they look for an impersonal solution. They think that's the most intelligent thing. Everything is empty. Everything is void. Never do they think, I have an eternal spiritual identity as part of the supreme spiritual identity. They don't think like it. They don't think that perfection is relationship. Therefore, they're not hungry for Krishna consciousness. Even if they become a little bit inquisitive about spiritual life. Oh, we're not the body. Yeah. The Bhagavatam explains, out of many thousands of persons who have understood perfectly the illusion of material life, you'll only find one devotee of Narayana, Muktanamapi Siddhana. This shows you how glorious bhakti is, how rare bhakti is. It's beyond even liberation. Krishna easily gives liberation, but he doesn't easily give devotional service, because you can conquer Krishna through devotional service. That is the perfection of Radha Krishna. Srimati Radharani conquers Krishna with love. She's the most qualified devotee. So much so that she can bring Krishna under her control. The Lord agrees to come under the control of his pure devotee. Whether it's Mother Yasoda binding baby Krishna with a rope, or Yudhisthira Maharaj in the first canto of Bhagavatam telling Krishna, please stay in Hastinapur a few days longer, don't leave just now. The Lord becomes responsive to the desires of his pure devotees. Once our eyes are full of the ointment of love of God, then we can see properly. Right now we have an eye disease. You just see matter. Animals are running. Material opportunities. You don't see the pervading, all-pervading spiritual reality. Krishna says, certainly there's an all-pervading spiritual reality. He's saying, that's me. But he's also saying, simultaneously, I'm in my spiritual abode, my private, intimate, pleasure neighborhood, and I'm having loving pastimes. Simultaneously. The vision of Krishna consciousness allows you to see these things. You see the material energy as directly related to Krishna, And you understand, you see how the Lord is enjoying his pastimes in his private neighborhood simultaneously. That is the fullness of reality you are hankering for. And you will not be satisfied until you get that fullness of reality. This is the mystery of transcendental love of God. Basically, what I'm explaining to you is that love of Krishna is intrinsically mixed with all the energies of the cosmos. This is a very profound point. You meditate on it. As you progress in Krishna consciousness, you'll be able to see everywhere opportunities for serving Krishna. So even the material world will inspire you. Just like when someone goes traveling, they want to see opportunities for sense gratification. Those of you who have traveled, you know that is a successful trip from the material world.